Again, this afternoon, we're glad to see you, and we welcome those visiting with us. We want you to feel comfortable as you visit and encourage you to get your Bible and search the Scriptures with us. I want to talk to you for just a few moments about the topic written on the board behind me, Tell Your Children. And as a basis for this particular study, I'll begin reading with Joel chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. The word of the Lord that came to Joel said, Hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell ye your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. Every generation has the responsibility of telling and teaching the next generation. In the book of Deuteronomy, in chapter 4 and in verse 9, the Lord charged, Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. You may say, I don't have any children at home. Tell your grandchildren. If we fail in our responsibility to tell our children, there can very easily come a generation like that which arose in the book of Judges chapter 2 and in verse 10, which does not know the Lord. As I got to thinking about when Joel said, Tell your children, I thought about some things that you and I need to tell our children. And I'd like to make a list of those for us in our study together. First of all, tell your children about the fact that there is a God. The Bible affirms the existence of God. The fourth word of the Bible in English is God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In Psalm 14 and verse 1, the psalmist said, The fool has said in his heart. What's the fool said? There is no God. When Paul preached at Athens in Acts 17:28, he affirmed that in God we live and move and have our being. If you don't tell your children that there is a God, who's going to tell them? And what will they be told? Will they be told that there was a big bang and that kick-started everything, and upon millions and even billions of years, they evolved from a single cell that at one time was a non-sex cell and accidentally divided itself into a dual cell and became male and female? Tell your children that there is a God, that God made them, that God made the world and all things therein. But also when you think about some things to tell your children, tell them that the Bible is the Word of God. Otherwise, they may be led to believe that the Bible is just a good book among many. It's not. It's the book of books. It's the only book that tells me where I came from, where I'm going when it's all over with, and what I'm to do while I'm here. Paul affirmed in 2 Timothy 3:16, beginning, All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That is, every word of it is God-inspired and is profitable for doctrine, that's teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. When Paul wrote the churches of Galatia in chapter 1, he said, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. Verse 11. Where'd you get it then, Paul? He said, I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 12. That's why when he wrote to the church at Corinth about the Lord's Supper, 1 Corinthians 11:23, he could say, I've received of the Lord. And in chapter 14 and verse 37, he said, If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you. Where'd you get those things? Did you just make those up? Did you pull them out of the air? Were you just writing off the top of your head? No, he said, The things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. And so the Bible is divine in its origin. Peter affirmed in 2 Peter 1:21, Holy men of old spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And so tell your children that the Bible is of God. It's divine in its origin. It did not come from the will of man. But also, as you make a list of some things to tell your children, tell your children about Christ. Tell them about the fact that Christ is God's Son. How that in the book of Matthew in chapter 16, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And there are various perceptions as to who Jesus was. Some thought he was a prophet, some John the Baptist. And so he asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And the Lord said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah," or Simon, son of Jonah, "for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which art in heaven. And I also say it unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock," that is this grand ledge truth, "that I am the Son of God, who you just confessed me to be, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell," or Hades, "shall not prevail against it." You remember when the Lord arose from the grave and the events that were associated with that, there was one who said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Even the demon world acknowledged that Jesus was the Son of God. And in the book of Acts in chapter 8 and in verse 37, the man of Ethiopia, before he was immersed in water, confessed, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Tell your children that Christ is God's Son. Let them know that he has all authority in heaven and in earth. Matthew 28 and in verse 18. Tell them about the fact that he built the church. Matthew 16 and in verse 18. And that he is the head over all things to the church, which is his body. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. Tell your children that Christ is their Savior. Let them know that they need a Savior. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3 and verse 23. That's not by physical birth, but by transgression. As sin is the transgression of law. 1 John 3 and verse 4. Tell your children that they need a Savior and that Christ is that Savior. In Matthew 1 and verse 21, it is said of the Virgin Mary, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Let them know that Christ is their Savior. And tell them, as you talk to them about Christ, about the fact that he's coming again. He promised to do that. In John chapter 14, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you," listen, "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Angel said he's coming. Remember in Acts 1:9, as he ascended, the disciples were looking up into heaven, and there stood by two angels which said, "Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go." And the apostles affirmed that he's coming. In fact, in Revelation, remember chapter 1 where John said, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him." When you tell your children about Christ, tell them that he is God's Son. He has all authority. He's their Savior, and he's coming again. But then again, as you think about some things that you and I need to tell our children, let's tell our children about the church. Tell your children about the fact that there is one church. Lest they be made to believe that there are many different churches and one is just as good as another, and just join the one of your choice. Jesus only promised to build one. He said, "I'll build my church," Matthew 16, 18. The prophets in the Old Testament only predicted one, the Lord's house, singular, Isaiah 2 and 2. And the apostles only made mention of one. In Ephesians 4, 4, Paul said, "There is one body." Whatever that is, I know there's just one. It's identified in Colossians 1, 24. When Paul said, "For his body's sake," which is, what's the body? The church, one body. The body is the church, one church. Tell your children that. Because if you don't, they won't know. Tell your children what the church is. Let them know that it's spiritual in its nature. It's a spiritual house, 1 Peter 2, 5. Tell them about the fact that it's God's called out people, God's special people, chosen people in Christ. Ephesians 1, 3 and 4. Tell them about the fact that it is the kingdom of God. and the bride of Christ and the sheepfold of God, the vineyard of the Lord, the family of God. Not only tell them what it is, but tell them about its origin. The fact that it's the oldest church in existence. It started on the first Pentecost following the resurrection of our Lord from the dead, as recorded in Acts chapter 2. It came into fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy, as predicted in Isaiah chapter 2, Joel 2, and Daniel 2. In the last days among all nations, in the city of Jerusalem. Acts 2, 5, 16, and 17. Tell your children that. Tell your children about the work in which it is to be engaged, that it is of a spiritual nature. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth, 1 Timothy 3:15. Its work involves preaching the gospel as the church at Thessalonica sounded out the word of the Lord, 1 Thessalonians 1, 7 and 8. About the fact that the work of the church involves edifying itself in love, Ephesians 4, 16, and relieving needy saints, as you see practiced by the first church in Acts chapters 2, 4, and 6. Tell your children about that work and what the work is not, lest they try to saddle the church with things that are nowhere authorized by the Lord, and even things that belong to the home and the individual. As Paul said, let not the church be charged in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and in verse 16. Tell them about its worship, that the church is to worship God in spirit and in truth, John 4:24, on the Lord's Day, through continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers, Acts 2:42, and singing and making melody from the heart, Ephesians 5:19. Tell your children about its organization. Christ as head, Ephesians 1:21-23. Elders to feed and to lead, Acts 14:23. 1 Peter 5:1-3. Deacons to serve under their oversight, 1 Timothy 3:8-13. And saints, members, 1 Corinthians 1:2, who labor in word and in deed, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Tell your children about that. Otherwise, they may never know. And somebody may just come along and tell them something that's not true. They may try to interest them in subscribing to a man-made creed and joining up with a man-made denomination. Tell your children about the blood-bought body of our Lord. But in addition to that, tell your children about God's marriage law. Take them back to the beginning in Genesis chapter 2 and let them know about God's mindfulness of man and how he saw that it was not good that the man should be alone. And so he provided for man's need of companionship. He put the man to sleep, took a rib from his side, made a woman, brought her to the man, and thus you had the first marriage ceremony. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She should be called woman because she was taken out of man. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife. Jesus affirmed that in Matthew 19. The Pharisees came to him asking, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Jesus said, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? He's going back to Genesis 2. And here's his application. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Tell your children that God's marriage law involves one man for one woman for life. And that at the beginning, God made no provision for divorce. In fact, when in Matthew 19, the Pharisees brought up the Mosaic concession from Deuteronomy 24. They said, why did Moses then command to give a writing in divorcement and to put her away? Jesus said, Moses suffered you to put away your wives, but what? From the beginning, it was not so. Tell your children that divorce was not so from the beginning, because we live in a society where marriage is looked upon very lightly by most people. As something you do today and undo the next. And the majority of people that they will be associated with will probably divorce and remarry and divorce and remarry time and again, if they even bother to get married in the first place, as cohabitation is the norm. And yet Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee fornication. And in chapter 7 and in verse 2, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife and let every woman have her own husband. You see, God's plan for marriage was to keep the human race morally pure. Tell your children that. Tell your children that there's only one exception to the rule, and that is, except it be for fornication. Matthew 19:9. Whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her, which is put away, doth commit adultery. One exception of that, except it be for fornication. Matthew 19:9. But then as you think about the expression from the book of Joel, tell your children. There a long list of things you might add to that of a spiritual nature. But let me suggest to you one more. That is, tell your children about their duty. Let them know that they have responsibility before God. In Ecclesiastes, we have a book that basically tells us the meaning and purpose of life. It saddens me that so many people just kindly wander aimlessly and hopelessly through this life, not knowing what it's all about. And wouldn't it be sad for a young person to grow up and not even know that they have some duty to God? In Ecclesiastes 12, when Solomon gets to the end, he appeals to the young man. He says in verse 1 of Ecclesiastes 12, remember. Remember when? When you get old? No. Remember now, thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Remember who? Thy Creator. You have a Creator. We talked about the fact that there is a God. And as God at the beginning formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, Genesis 2:7, he created man in his image, Genesis 1:26-27. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. There's coming a day in which you'll say, I have no pleasure. Don't wait until those dark and difficult days. Remember your duty to God now. And in verses 13 and 14, we have the bottom line. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Tell your children about that. Let them know that they have duty. And their duty is to fear God, that is to respect and reverence Him, and to keep His commandments. And tell them about the fact that there will be a day of judgment, in which they'll appear before the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:10, to give an account of every deed and every idle word, Matthew 12:36-37. Let them know that of that day and that hour knoweth no man. So they'll always recognize the importance of being ready for it. Tell your children and let them tell their children. These are some things that I'm thankful that my parents told me. And my wife and I are doing our best to tell our children. And would to God that all of us would see the value and the importance of telling our children and our children's children the things that they need to know. Wouldn't it be sad for them to go through life not knowing these things? They're told a lot of other things. And we see the value of making sure they're told about how to read and how to add and subtract and multiply, and telling them about history and telling them about science and all of these fascinating things. And as important as those are, wouldn't it be sad for them to be well informed about all of that and yet not know the most important things of all, and that is the things recorded in this sacred volume. I appreciate the good way that you've listened this afternoon, and there may be one or more in this audience who's not yet rendered obedient to the gospel of Christ. You recognize that as one made in the image of God, you have duty before God to fear Him and to keep His commandments. His commandments for us today are contained in the gospel. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Romans 1:16-17. And the psalmist said in Psalm 119:172, all thy commandments are righteousness. The gospel contains facts to be believed, commandments to be obeyed, and promises and blessings to be enjoyed. It's promises, and blessings are available to those who obey and keep the commandments. You've heard about it. Would you believe it? Would you be willing to obey it and repenting of your sins? Confessing with your mouth, I believe that Jesus Christ is Son of God. And we'll be happy to baptize you this afternoon that you might be added to the one church that we've talked about, which contains the saved, Ephesians 5:23. And one of these days will be delivered up to God, 1 Corinthians 15, and then verse 24. While others will be rooted up, Matthew 15:13. Maybe you've already obeyed the gospel and been added to the church, but you've not been faithful. The Lord said, be faithful unto death, I'll give you a crown of life, Revelation 2:10. You find yourself in the same situation as Simon, who in Acts 8, after his baptism sinned, was found in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. He was told, repent and pray. And he said to Peter, pray to the Lord for me. We'll pray to the Lord for you. If that's your desire, if you'll make it known, as together we stand and sing.